Welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting, December 8, 2008. We're glad you're here. We appreciate you being here and to work with us on our agenda. And any comments you might have as we go through the agenda, we certainly would like to have them. And as we start our meeting, if you would, stand with us for our prayer and our pledge of allegiance. Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach the end of the year, we come into your presence just thanking you for who you are, what you do, being the creator of our earth, the creator of us, and the many blessings that you give us throughout the year, Lord, and have in the past. As each of us think about the many blessings we have individually, you know, they're numerous and different in some cases. And so many times we will ask for something that will be answered in a way that we don't know, we don't understand, or that we get very happy with. But Lord, we know that you are in control. You know what's best for each and every one of us, and you know what's best for our community. And we just thank you this evening for what you've done for our community. You've given us so many blessings. And we know we are in a time of turmoil in so many different ways. But again, Father, we know who's in control. You are. And again, we just thank you so much for what you've done and what you will do. And we just ask you as we go through the evening to be with us, give us wisdom and guidance as we look at each issue. And we just pray that that we all would be remembrance of the reason for this season, your son, the birth of your son, and we certainly want an attitude of gratitude for what you do for us and through him, through the Holy Spirit. And so thank you, Father, again for this time together, and we'll give you the honor and glory for all the good things that we can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Oh, that was a trick play.
Okay. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
Mr. Mayor, I have two comments with regard to the minutes. When we discussed the issue of the Martin Luther King Jr. sign, I know that I made a statement, and I know I made it because I read it in the paper, regarding the fact that I have seen these kinds of signs elsewhere around the country, and I don't know why, but I didn't see that in the minutes. And secondly, I know that I asked several questions regarding the audit, and they weren't there, just simply a comment that I had asked some questions. So I, we certainly had about four or five or six or seven pages on the junkyard, so I would appreciate if my questions regarding the audit would be included in the minutes.
Okay, certainly. That should be no problem, right, Sarah? I guess they're on the tape and everything. Okay, any other comments? If not, do we have a motion and a second for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. If there are no other comments, show of hands, please. All in favor? Approval? Okay, passes unanimously. The minutes, consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of November 24th, 08. And I guess this is basically what you were talking about, Dick. So, are there any other?
If I would start by paying attention.
Hey, look. Are there any comments about the minutes, one way or the other? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Okay. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under old business, appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have 2012 appointments that are pending, and seven of them are before you tonight. The mayor's asked that we consider the reappointment of Nancy Dukes, the BZA, Eugene Mackey to the Community Development Committee, Mark Hudgens to the Environmental Committee, and McDonald Law Design Review Board. Councilmember Smith would like to have the reappointment of Ed Giobi to the Planning Commission and Don Broderick to the Design Review Board. And Councilmember Wells would like to have John Burkhalter reappointed to the Parks Commission. Those are the seven appointments before you this evening.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? This passes unanimously. How about new nominations? Any nominations for go on the agenda next week? Okay. Very good. Item 2 is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance accepting the fiscal year 2007-2008 audited financial statements. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. At our last meeting, Elliot Davis was here and presented the audit to council. In essence, as you look at the ordinance that's before you tonight for second reading, this is the reconciliation of what was approved by City Council in June of 2007 and what was actually spent during this past fiscal year and what expenses that we did receive. The ordinance reads, accepting the fiscal year 2007-2008 audited financial statement and authorizing the variance to the fiscal year 2007-2008 ordinance. This is the second reading and public hearing to approve this city fiscal year 2007-2008 audited financial statement.
Okay, thank you, sir. Now, this is a second reading public hearing, so if anyone would like to talk about the audit, any comments, you may do so. If you'd like a copy after the fact, I think you could get that too. It'd be good reading, especially at night when you're getting ready to go to bed. Okay, no comments. Back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a comment or two, if I might. I spent a lot of time looking at that document. A lot of people might consider it dry reading, but I didn't, and I came away more impressed than ever with the efficiency that our city finances are managed. When you look, I think we're talking about $24 million in revenues to begin with, and the way Roger budgeted, we end up with a difference of $115,000, which is near perfection. So I concluded the finances are the city finances are well run. It's a very impressive document. It's the only document I think that we get that lets us evaluate the effectiveness of the budget, because we see what we said we were going to do, and then we see what we actually did, and we can see some changes in the vehicle maintenance and so forth that were done earlier in the year. I would like to use this time to ask that at least I receive, I'm sure the council would want to look at it, an audit of both the Council of Aging and the Aiken Foundation, because some of our finances are used to support their activities, and I think it would be appropriate for us to receive their audits. But I would be proud to move adoption of the second reading of the 2007-2008 audit.
Let me make clear, you're asking to see copies of those two organizations?
Yes.
Okay. What was the second one? The
Aiken Housing Authority.
Aiken Housing.
Aiken Housing Authority and Aiken Foundation. I'm sorry, I said Council of Aging. Aiken Corporation. Yeah. Aiken Corporation and the Aiken Housing Authority.
Okay.
Now, we do not fund the Aiken Housing Authority, just so you know, but I'll see if I can get a... Okay. I'm sure they have an audit.
Do you want to see the audit anyway, Dick?
I'd love
even
to,
though
yes.
City, no city funds?
Isn't that something he needs to go to the Aiken Housing Authority to accept rather than through us? That would be an individual?
Let me just discuss it offline, okay?
Okay.
I'll talk to the city manager about it.
And you want the Council on Aging?
No. The only ones I was concerned of were the Aiken Housing Authority and the Aiken Corporation.
Okay.
Okay. Did we have a second to the motion? I think we had a motion. Do we have a second? I'll second. Okay. Any other comments? Any comments?
I just want to know what we're seconding and what we're voting on. Is it just the approval of the second reading of the audit?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But your request is just a personal request that you want?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's something that should come to the council, but if it doesn't, I'd like to see it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Dick, thank you for your comments that you made on our staff, and certainly I think we all, you know, ditto what you said. Year after year after year, we get wonderful offers. Thank you for Anita, for you and your staff. And Anita is going to be leaving us at the end of this year, and we hate to see you go, certainly. You've been a wonderful, wonderful employee and staff member and leader. And thank you so much for your time here and what you've done. But thank your staff for all they do, too. We all know that there's no one person that's going to do a whole lot, but together we can do a lot. Thank you. Okay, we have a second. No more comments? Show of hands, please. All in favor of approval? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 3, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 505 Douglas Drive. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the City of Aiken, certain property consisting of 0.42 acres of land owned by ERC, Incorporated, and located at 505 Douglas Drive, and is zoned the same residential single-family RS-10. There is a single-family dwelling unit that's currently under construction at this property, and they would like to come into the city so they could receive city services. The Planning Commission unanimously approved this at their November meeting. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 505 Douglas Drive under the RS-10 zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing of this ordinance, and if there's anyone would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the annexation of this property upon second reading.
Okay. Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under new business, item 1 is the first reading of an ordinance to close the unopened portion of Coker Springs Road between Newberry Street and Lawrence Street, sometimes called a paper street because it's not really there, but it could be there. So what we're talking about is closing it, obviously. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to continue with closure of an unopened portion of the right-of-way of Coker Springs Avenue between Newberry Street and Lawrence Street, at the same time retaining its public utility, public safety, and related municipal maintenance authorities, continued utilization of it for city needs. What we have here is, as the mayor stated, it is a paper street. It's never been opened. The Hitchcock Woods Foundation several months ago came to us. We said we really could not find any deeds or records that this was our street. And so what this will allow us to do is to publicly declare that any rights that we have in the street are no longer ours. And we're basically saying that this closure, even though it was never open, that it will never be a public road. However, due to the possibility in the future, we do want to retain the rights to for our utilities through that area. In talking to the Hitchcock Woods Foundation, who is very much concerned about this and have filed a friendly lawsuit on this, that is perfectly fine with them. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to close the unopened portion of Coker Springs between Newberry Street and Lawrence Street to any public motor vehicle traffic. Upon City Council consideration, a second reading public hearing will be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Is anyone in the audience would like to speak on this issue? Okay. Do we have a motion and second?
Move for approval, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Okay, any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 2 is a resolution authorizing the placement of signs commemorating SC Highway 19 as the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Highway. Mr. LeDuc, please.
If you could, Mr. Mayor, there's at least one person who's going to be coming in a few minutes, that if we could move this towards the end of the agenda.
Sure.
I see they're not here yet.
Okay. We'll move it down to the last part of the last one. And
hopefully they'll be there by then.
Okay, sir. Then item three, resolution approving the DuPont Landing Community Revitalization Development Plan. Mr. Ledoux.
Yes, sir. I see Harvey Ramsour is out there representing Second Baptist Church. They came to us several years ago and asked that this particular area, which is behind DuPont Street, just opposite the Aiken High School, be considered as a community development, community revitalization development plan, which council approved. By having that action taken, they were able to seek some funding from both the state primarily, but also other type funding that could help them with this development. They still intend to continue with the single family home development behind there. However, the city of Aiken asks if they would consider the possibility of adding a senior housing unit development within that area. We had been trying for the last several years to put a senior housing development at the property that we own at McCormick and Hampton Avenue, which is very close to Second Baptist Church. Because of the size of the acreage, we are trying to fit in really too many units in that one area that consisted of 1.7 acres at McCormick and Hampton, which is bordered on the southern side by the cemetery. Instead, we're looking at putting in, right now we've been working with Steve Smith, and putting in single family housing in a what we think would be a very interesting clustering type of effect. Not get nearly as many units in there, obviously, but something that we think the neighborhood would be very happy with that we'll be presenting at a later date. So instead, we would like council to consider to amend their plan so this 48-unit, one-bedroom complex for seniors could be located in this area. In addition to that, we went up to Greer and looked at what they were doing with their complex for seniors, and they also had included an adult daycare facility. Adult daycare facility, a lot of their patients, for instance, are adults who have early forms of Alzheimer's, and the caregivers in that case or in other cases are looking for places that they could seek some relief and let, could be a spouse, it could be a parent, it could even be a grown child, where they'd leave them at this facility, this adult daycare facility, during the daytime, and then also the seniors that are in the housing unit could also use this particular unit, and this would be adjoining with a breezeway or walkway between the two structures. So that's what they have planned for this particular area, and they are asking tonight that you would approve the attached resolution, which then they would use to seek funding for the development that they intend for this particular area. They will have to come back to council at a later date asking for rezoning this area, because this area is not zoned for this type of development. So all you'd be approving tonight is just that the overall plan that they have, and they need this plan approved as soon as possible, because they need that approval by council's sake to go ahead and seek out some funding. They've already had some preliminary talks with our planning department, and they'll be bringing in final drawings to them soon. And so I imagine the next few months you'll see that as part of the rezoning. And it'll probably be under the form of a planned residential concept, which would allow them to put in a facility for residents that has a multifamily component to it within that residential. Again, a planned residential, you can have large lots, small lots. In this case, they would have a multi-unit lot in there. This is also bordering right up against the, I think it's now called the Hazel Nursing Home or Hazelwood Nursing Home, that's right at the corner of DuPont near the high school. So tonight, for your consideration, is the approval of the attached resolution concerning the DuPont Landing Community Revitalization Development Plan.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Harvey, would you like to say anything to us about this?
Only if I need to.
Uh-huh. Anyone have any questions?
How can we approve it without approving the zoning at the same time, Roger? And be
you're not. In other words, if you could always if. For the rezoning, for planned residential rezoning, one of the things that you have asked for in that concept plan, which is why they can't come for the zoning right now, is you want renderings and drawings to depict what the structures are going to look like. And they don't have all that right now. They're under a deadline, though, to have this resolution approved so they can even just go out and seek the funding. And without... This deadline that they have, they do not have the several months it's going to take to get the whole property rezoned. So they realize that they're going to have to come back. And I say that to you because if for some reason you don't like this 2 or 3 months from now, you could still turn down the rezoning, which would essentially stop them from going forward with this plan. But basically what you're saying is the concept looks good, we like it, we want more details in the future, but we're giving you the go-ahead to take it to the next level or the next step forward.
That's correct.
But we're also committing $150,000 for the detention pond?
We have already committed that. We need a regional detention pond. That particular area at the high school in the surrounding streets used to flood. We have a temporary stormwater pond that's on their property right now. City Council 2, 3, 4 years ago committed this additional funding to enlarge that detention pond. And so, one has to do with the other, but we've already approved that funding as a council.
Oh, okay.
For years, that was a heavily flooded area between UPS and the Second Baptist property that you could not ride down the street without driving through. Just a lot of
water.
Mm-hmm. Lots of water. Mm-hmm.
But I think the city manager covered everything.
Sorry.
We'll probably ask him to write our application for funding also.
Well, Harvey, I've got a question. I see the picture, the picture here, and it looks very nice. And this, I assume, is the Greer. This is what Greer has.
Yes.
This is the Greer facility. Yes.
Great.
And they intend to be. Almost exactly. The same development company that developed the Greer model here, they're working with. It's called Nehemiah Corporation out of Greenville.
Mm-hmm. And the same architect.
So it would look very similar to this.
Very similar.
And these are all, I think it says here, all one bedroom?
They are one bedroom units.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. And that center section, I guess, as you walk in, is that a main... congregating area?
Main entrance, reception area, and a small library, if I remember.
And then on the second floor, right above it, there's a community room, which is a small kitchen, so the residents could gather and bring their meals there and have some potluck dinners and play cards and do a number of other things within the facility.
Do you get to all of the apartments through this main entrance?
Yes, you do.
Okay, that's the only way... Or are there other doors leading to each?
There are emergency exits on both sides of the building and the rear.
Okay, but this is the main entrance to get to your apartment, even though it may be down the hallways.
Correct.
Okay, good. Very, very good. That's all I have.
And I spoke to the officials in Greer. Obviously, Greer came down here this past fall, and this has been in existence for several years, and they're really excited. It's everything that they wanted in a senior complex, and these are assisted rental units. So those individuals that can't afford to go to a full cost facility can go ahead and rent these units. And still have a very, very nice facility to live in.
And this is for seniors, right?
That's correct.
It's for seniors.
What's the age limit on a senior?
It's seniors and handicapped, so it's seniors 55, 56 up.
It's 55 and up.
55
and up.
Okay, yeah.
I knew I was one, but I didn't know exactly what the cutoff was.
Yeah. You're not quite there, Mr. Mayor.
Sir?
You're not quite there.
Oh, yes. Any other questions for Harvey? Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for all you're doing on this project, too. Okay, we need a motion and a second.
Move for adoption of this resolution to approve the DuPont Land and Community Revitalization Development Plan, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 4, approval of resolution concerning workers' compensation deductible. Thank you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. A couple of years ago, I believe it's 4 to be exact, City Council allowed us to raise a deductible from $1,000 to $50,000. That was after many years of hard work by staff members and a safety committee that we have and the department heads really working hard to make sure that our employees were working under a very safe condition and getting the equipment that's necessary to help them in these efforts. Because of that, we would, if we were under what was our experience rating in 2004, we'd be paying $600,000 a year right now in workers' compensation insurance. As it turns out, we're still paying a lot, but it's only $300,000. But due to the hard work of the employees and the departments and everyone concerned, we are now saving about $300,000 a year. So, I just really want to thank all the department heads that are out there, Anita, your staff especially, that's working with the risk management for a job well done. So 4 years ago, we asked them to analyze, and we decided to go to $50,000. The state has now come back to us and said, this is the renewal time, you want to stay at $50,000. So we did a spreadsheet, which you have attached, got a lot of numbers on it. We try to highlight, though, for you just the particular numbers. We looked at the last 4 years since we went to the $50,000. And unfortunately, if you look at it in 2007, as you go down towards the lower part of the page, and you have three areas in yellow, and it shows that we had one claim between 25 and 50, one between 50 and 100, and one over 100,000. Now, what I need to tell you, though, is that all these individuals that have what we call reserves are currently working. And like the very highest one, it's a back injury. It's a public safety officer that fell, hurt his back. What we have seen historically in the past is they put a large reserve there in case they have to go out and they have a major back surgery or anything else. But then over the next several years, that amount is removed as they see there's a settlement with that employee. And probably in the next several months, we'll settle with that employee and the other employees for a fraction of what you see listed here. And that's why you see in the previous years, we don't have any claims above 100,000. We don't have any claims really between 50 and 100,000. Is because once you do those settlements, the reserves are eliminated and you then take that money and you put it back into your fund. So we feel very comfortable with raising it to at least 100,000, but we feel we should actually consider $200,000. Now saying that, insurance is just what it is. It's a risk. You buy insurance for your car because you don't want to have a catastrophic event happen, and you could lose a lot of things individually and as a family. So we feel that if we're going to take this risk, I would ask council to consider that at the end of the fiscal year, that is hopefully we were going to save the money, that we put it in a reserve until we get $150,000 to $200,000 saved up. So that if we have a case, or maybe when we have a case, we have the money set aside. If we go to $100,000 deductible, we'll save an additional $25,000 a year. If we go to $200,000 deductible, we'll save an additional $50,000 a year. It's a little bit more than that, but just rounding it off. So we feel good enough about what we're doing as far as safety within the city that we're coming to you recommending we raise it to the $200,000 level. Now, if council is happy with doing that, or if you want to consider even the $100,000, You have on your desk a new resolution. When we went back to the Municipal Association, it's called Schmidt, that we work with, they said that's great, but we'd like to have it in exactly this format, which is very similar to what we have with you, but you'd actually be passed the resolution that was given to you tonight from Sarah. She got this on Friday for the Municipal Association, so we're sorry that we didn't have the agenda package, but it's essentially saying the same thing. It's just in the language that their attorneys have written up that they would like it in that form. So before you tonight is a resolution and a recommendation that we raise our deductible on a workers' compensation insurance from the current $50,000 to either $100,000 or $200,000. We would prefer the $200,000.
Okay. Do we have a motion or a second?
So you want you do want us to do the $200,000?
If council feels comfortable with that.
What's the situation if we decide later that that's too high? Can we go back?
Yes, we can. But we'd only do it once a year.
Right.
We have to do it before the. So in other words, if we find out next year during the year for some reason we don't like it, we could change it, but we can't change it until December of next year.
Right. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and move that we approve this resolution for the $200,000 deductible.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. All right. Let's see. We're approval of a resolution for the purchase of property at 312 Sumter Street Northeast.
Yes, sir. We've been negotiating with this person for a long time. We thought we had the property purchased many, many months ago, and as we were getting ready to sign the contract, they raised it from $12,000 to $20,000, and it probably might even be worth that amount, but we were a little stubborn at the time, so we said, no, you said $12,000, and so they finally came back to $12,000. We think it's a very good situation for us because it already adjoins parkland we own. Another property we got through the Habitat folks. They owned six lots at the corner of Sumter and Abbeville at one time. We swapped them six lots for other areas. It's a kind of a wetland type area that during rainy periods it gets quite a bit of water in there. But this is going to be great. It's 15,000 square feet of land. There's only one more piece of property between there and Schofield that hopefully someday we'll be able to also own. We can clear it out. It's been a little bit of a safety area. It's been a lot of trash gets in there. But more importantly, we just think it'll be great to have that as addition to our park area. So we'd like to recommend to you that we purchase this property for $12,000 at 312 Sumter Street. If I put my glasses on, I could read it. Get older and go through that. 312 Sumter Street for $12,000 with the intention that we'd remove the house and leave this as open space.
Okay,
Roger,
thank you.
May I ask you about something that I heard that I'm not so sure I know what I'm talking about, but maybe you can help me with it. And it has to do with wetlands and and maybe you... I hesitate because you may have discussed it at the last meeting, but I don't know. But it has to do with wetlands and planting calla lilies in wetlands because they take a lot of water, and I got that from one of your staff members, and you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I know about
what about this?
Okay. Is this an area? I know what it looks like over there in the park when it rains, especially the last week or two when we had the big rain. Is this something we could start doing to some of this property to help with the area over there?
Typically, those types of plants that you're talking about need a lot of sunlight. In the area that we specifically have right now in the area, and this particular property this particular property really doesn't flood because they raise the mm-hmm. height of the ground. But the other area is more of a deciduous bottomland with a lot of trees in it that grow very well in a wetted area. There's probably over 100 trees in that one other tract of land and just doesn't get very much sunlight. So that type of plant would not do well there. But we could sort of look at that type of plant in other areas. We do have that in several of the areas of the stormwater or wetlands ponds that we have at Rye Patch.
I just thought it was brilliant and pretty because I love calla lilies. Mm-hmm. But if we could do that in that area, not on this piece of property, but over in that area where it's just
maybe
open.
Maybe the other Schofield pond that we have,
right,
that we could take a look at some
where
of those.
Really open and it gets really wet and damp and stays that way for a while.
The only problem we've had in putting, there are some invasive wetlands material. Cattails, is commonly called, gets in there and they like to take over those areas very rapidly. But that is a great plant to have there in the wetlands area. And we'll see what we can do in the future.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
And I'd like to move for approval of the purchase of the property at 312 Sunday Street.
Okay. Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second also. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, back to item number 2. A resolution authorizing the placement of signs commemorating SC Highway 19 as Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Highway.
Yes, sir. Over 14 years ago, the city council at that time passed a resolution designating Highway 19 and the portion that was in the city limits as the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Highway. And you have some information on that. At that time, they said there would be no renaming of streets nor additional signage. At the last council meeting, though, you asked that we reconsider that and place some signage that would be appropriate for that. Most of you have probably seen in various areas of the state, we have one right in front of the mall, the Brinkley Memorial Highway. It's got that signage there. That's typically what the state has. We'll be asking to see if we could make that look a little bit more attractive, but it's typically the signs are around 2 feet by 7 feet, 2 feet wide, and about 7 feet in length. This may have to vary a little bit because we're again looking at calling it the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Highway, and so the sign may have to be adjusted somewhat to fit that verbiage in there. But tonight we have a resolution before you authorizing the placement of a sign or signs commemorating South Carolina 19 through Aiken City limits as the Martin Luther King Memorial Highway. Prior to this meeting, there was some discussion, though, you know, like it'd be helpful for us because we don't have anything in here. Nothing was specified at the last meeting. Where would you anticipate these signs being located so that if you do pass this, that would help Pete when we get ready to manufacture these signs and then for him to also place those signs. So that's the resolution that's before you tonight.
Okay, thank you, sir. Does anyone in the audience would like to speak on this issue?
Mr. Mayor, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Brenda Lynn Jenkins. I live at 804 Dillon Avenue in the city of Aiken, in South New York. The last council meeting, there was discussion about the renaming of the street, and went out and did some homework. Let me just let you know that I spoke with County Councilman Willa Hightower, who has agreed to take the lead on this and making sure that the county takes care of their portion and asking the state to approve the renaming. And upon the state's approval, the county will order the signs from the vendor. At last meeting also you heard from Councilman Scott Singer, who agreed to be supportive of this. I've spoken personally with Representative Clyburn, who has agreed to take the lead from the state level and moving through the authorization, whatever we would need. So we have from the Aiken-Edgefield County line, the proposed renaming as far as the county is concerned, and that is what Mr. Hightower is going to propose to the county council. I've included on page one just that whole, the Edgefield-Aiken County line. The first photo shows the back of the Edgefield sign. The first photo on the second line that says Aiken County could be adapted with the verbiage and naming on that sign. On I-20, that's marked exit 18, it says Aiken Technical College, Johnston, and under that it is designated, has a sign, Battle of Aiken. I guess that would become a true visual oxymoron, or a true indication of America to have under the Battle of Aiken sign, the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Highway on that. And then once you come off I-20, making a left coming into Aiken, just past that little median is the first street Miley sign. It says Aiken, 8 miles. You can put something there if it's chosen. Then the city portion would begin around the intersection of bypass 119 southbound. That would, I guess, would be the first indication of where the city would be responsible for signage at the 118 bypass, and there on that sign would be appropriate. Likewise, going out to the south side, the partway median at Lawrence, and I looked at the street signs that indicated 19, which were already stated, some verbiage and signage there. On out, as our city manager has indicated, the Brinkley Memorial Parkway, and that parkway is so named down from that point down through New Ellington. And I spoke with Mayor Vernon Dunbar, who indicated that Brinkley was, I think, a state trooper, but that his family had ties to the New Ellington community, but that he did not foresee any problem in the duplication of signage from there down through 278. Then as we come back up northbound on Whiskey and Pine Log, and then there on, so it was just some indications of possible places to name the sign, to put the sign. Also, you'll see where I have markers and memorials along city streets that indicates, for a very specific reason, different, permissions that have been given to groups to place monuments and memorials at various sites around the city, from the Blue Star Memorial Highway to Vietnam to Confederate Memorial to the Daffodil Memorial on Lawrence and Abbeville. And so there are some in the community who have expressed great interest in through the faith community, fraternities, sororities, civic organizations, to have made a marker in honor of Dr. King and this designation, and to ask the city's permission, if you would look at those pages that say markers and memorials, the bottom two photos show the divide and median beginning at Lawrence and Hampton, which is the sort of the epicenter of the black community in Aiken, to ask the city's permission through private fundraising to have erected there some type of marker monument that designates Martin Luther King Highway that would be paid through by private funds. And on the back is just a mock-up of what that possible would be. And so that is what we bring before you tonight, to ask permission to move this. And certainly as the city, the state, and the county moves to have the signs printed, the marker could be done in a matter of 3 to 4 weeks, with hopefully the city being able, the community being able to erect this monument, this marker, during the Martin Luther King holiday weekend here in Aiken.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant question. And this is just a question to anybody that can answer it. Does the state would have to approve the markers themselves? This is a question. Does the state have to approve the markers themselves and also the locations?
Are we speaking about the sign or the marker?
I'm talking about both. The individual signs or the marker here. And is that made of, what is
granite.
That ma-
it's made
of? Granite?
Of granite. Granite, yes,
okay.
Sir. It's made of granite,
okay.
And that area, I don't know if the city owns that median and that parkway.
You're talking about south of Hampton Avenue in that median?
Where is that?
If you're coming from I-20 coming into Aiken, if you're at Lawrence and Hampton on the right side of the BP station, on the left side of the cemetery,
right.
Straight ahead of you is that little triangle beginning of the divide of the street.
Mm-hmm.
So on the south side of Hampton.
Yeah, south side of Hampton.
Yeah, because you show the median here on the north side of Hampton.
No, on the south side.
It's right at the intersection.
No, the highway department would probably allow that because there's a barrier there. They wouldn't want it in the one on the north side, which traffic could then hit.
Right, I see.
And we would have to get their permission.
I think on the north side is just a concrete island.
Right.
So on the south side is that little knoll, right. Most yeah. Little knolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be fine.
Right. And Roger, I think you covered this, but the signs would be standard sign, unless it were changed for some
they're
reason.
They're typically 2 feet by 7. Pete talked to the highway department about that. We would be manufacturing them in the sign shop here, and there'd be that green on white, or white on white green.
I thought you said last time we were going to have something handsome, like on the Highway 1 and stuff like something unique and better looking than that. I think those are awful looking. And I remember, you know, when they put that one on Whiskey right in front of the Rybergs' old house, it was so out of place and inappropriate in that location. I just expected something better looking, to be honest. I don't like those green and white things.
Well, maybe this is someplace.
I think that's the, if I may, I think that's the standard state sign, the white lettering on the green, and I think that what Mr. LeDuc is saying, I guess with the length of the verbiage, it would probably be two lines. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Parkway Highway.
The way I've seen it, it reads Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial Highway underneath it. Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial Highway.
The national standards that the Federal Highway Department has is green and white signs or informational signs. And so it almost certainly have to be a green and white sign. Where they'll allow us to do anything differently beyond that, you know, we could always ask.
Memorial Parkway.
Could you reverse it and do what you've done with the new street signs, white signs with green lettering?
Probably not. Okay. Again, if you go almost any place in the country, whether it be on the interstate, they're green backgrounds with white letters.
Okay.
Well, that would be a call from the state. I mean, that would be.
But I mean, we're not going to have very much choice. We could ask to do something differently, but we probably are not going to get permission to do anything differently.
Well, I don't want to make that an issue, so that's the state will let us do.
Well, but it's a commemoration. It's not a direction sign.
No.
At all. And I don't see why we can't do something that looks better, to be honest with you. I think these are unsightly myself. 7 feet, for goodness sakes.
Well, I think we all agree with that, mm-hmm. Jane. But, Bill, is it going to be up to the state to make that decision? I mean, we're talking about something that we may not have a choice in.
Bill Clyburn, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. I think Ms. Vaughn's question probably is the one I want to address, and that is if you want to do something that looks better, then I think it certainly would be appropriate to ask.
Sure.
Although there are standards for state signs, there are always optional things that you can look at. For an example, if you want to change it to a memorial, that's fine as long as it's in a safe place and requested and approved by the state. But I think what's most important here, Mayor, is that we certainly do not want to get caught up on the sign thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get the approval, I'm sure that there will be a cooperation from the NAACP and other interested organizations to come up with the best looking appropriate signs in memorial stones, a monument, wherever it can be appropriately placed.
Good. That's good news.
Yeah. Okay.
And I certainly concur. We don't want to get involved in the design details. We're just happy to have the designation, and that's what's most important, and the permission for the community to erect the monument. That's
right.
We need to do permitting for that. We certainly will.
Yeah. Now, I need to ask one more question. The locations that you depict here, are those locations that you would like to see a sign in?
I think that, I don't know how the spacing is done. Again, I don't know how that's done. I don't know what formula. I spoke with the young lady over at the county that does the street signs. She's given a number of signs. They put them down. She didn't have a formula, and certainly I want to trust and leave that to the city's direction to do that. These were just some possible placement on locations that would not need the erection of new poles or holders or any of that, things that were already basically in place.
Right. Okay. Just wanted to try to clear it up.
Well, thank you so much.
So are we talking about two signs or four signs or six signs?
That's my question.
There was a little confusion here because we weren't talking about a monument before.
No, I'm talking about these signs here. The areas which is depicted here on the information that we have, that my question was, is this what is being proposed at each of these places? That's my question.
I know that she's not proposing that each one of these locations there should be a sign. She's given these as examples of where signs are currently placed. Is that not right? And she's asking us to use our discretion. Now, the question was asked, do we put up three signs, five signs, 10 signs? No one is asking that we proliferate the city with a lot of signs. What is appropriate in terms of placement? And I think we can look at other communities where it's visible, and I see them, as I said to you at the last meeting, when I go to Spartanburg, when I go to other towns, they're very visible, but you don't see 100 signs on the highway. It's not highly proliferated. It's just adequately spaced, and I think that we've got judgment to know what is adequately spaced. I would think so.
Well, I think in the spirit of working together, which we're doing, we certainly need some advice. That's my personal opinion. We'd like to hear from you what you think. I mean, so it's not just arbitrary, because each one of us may have a different idea. And we certainly don't want to come up later and say, oh, golly, I thought we were going to have 6 signs or 10 signs or 2 signs or whatever.
Well, certainly, Mr. Mayor, the county line from Edgefield into Aiken, the city would I guess, begin to concern themselves with that, of course, that's in the city, and that begins its the signage, I guess, at the 118 bypass.
Very close to it, yes.
Something there. And then in the city, that would be 3 at Lawrence and Park, and then maybe something down on Whiskey Road. That's 3 signs that the city would be directly responsible. I don't know whether we would have them corresponding on the up northbound side, 1 or 2
right.
signs.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, that's
3.
That's good.
3.
That's good.
3 going southbound and 2 maybe coming northbound.
Okay.
I don't want to get
that's good. That's
is that good
information.
That is the number that I said earlier, but I wasn't sure whether that was a safe number or not.
Yeah. So from 118 bypass, Lawrence Park, Whiskey Road, and then maybe something coming back up.
Right.
By Odell Weeks or whatever the designation.
Oh, okay.
Those two.
So 5 or 6 signs, maybe.
Yes,
too right?
many.
Would we want one where the monument is at Lawrence and Hampton? Okay. And then where the monument is.
That would be the monument sign at Lawrence and Hampton.
The monument itself would be a sign.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be one.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's good.
Mr. Mayor, my sense is the state has processed these, and cities and communities around the state, and they're going to be able to tell us exactly what they're going to improve and perhaps how many they would approve and what they have to say. Like, I know there's a book about yay thick.
Well, Dick,
describing signs.
You may well be right, but I think I go back to what Mr. Clyburn, Representative Clyburn, said is, they can, once we approve signs here, and they can pretty well get the locations that they want, I think. That's my view on it. Maybe the state will come in and say, no, you've got to have it there, here. I doubt that, personally. Anyway.
I can't imagine the state being that flexible with us.
Thank you
I hope so.
Thank you for helping us.
You're quite welcome.
Okay, do we have, is any other comments?
I just don't, I'm very uncomfortable approving 5 or 6 signs, 2 feet by 7 feet. That's huge to me, and I don't mind approving this at all. I think it should be a commemoration. But I just never had any idea it was going to be these big old green and white signs. I never did. I thought it would be something much handsomer and much more.
It may be.
But it may not be.
And it may not be.
Probably will not be.
And if it's going to be done in what? What did you say, Ms. Jane? 4 to 6 weeks or something?
By the 19th of January. Is that was that the date on the monument sign?
Yes. That's the monument, though. Yeah. That's not the.
Oh, that's the monument. Okay.
Erected.
Private funds would raise to erect.
Now that goes to the Parkway Commission, correct? It's in a parkway. Is that not there?
It's in a median.
It typically would be. Obviously, any recommendation they have, they'd be giving to council. We have nothing in our ordinance that says that it has to go through them.
Oh, okay. Fine. I just didn't know.
It's not like the Planning Commission where by state law things need to get their prior approval. The Park Commission is a committee or a commission that you have formed here specifically and is not under any state statutes.
I just thought we couldn't put anything in the parkways without that.
We're going to have to get a highway permit and get the highway department's permission, and they may say it could only be a certain size. It has to be back from the curving so far, just from safety purposes. Now, putting in the median at the southern end of Hampton is very good because you don't have traffic that's going to possibly hit that area,
right,
versus the northern part. Same thing, they're going to have to approve where the signs are going to go. And again, we have to find the appropriate area. Like if we're going to come in on Whiskey Road near the mall, on the one side right now there's just a great big ditch, plus a lot of individual driveways. And so it may be difficult to put a sign in that area in the highway department. Again, because of the size of it, where you can see the Brinkley sign is in a nice open area, which is exactly what you would like to see, is an area where people are driving by. It's nice and open where they can really see the sign and not a bunch of clutter from other signage that's out there. Because that area there, everything's on that side of this road, is in the county, and we can't control the signage and mailboxes and everything else that are in that area.
Well, now, is the Brinkley Memorial Parkway and this park highway the same thing?
The same thing as?
The same road?
It's the same size, and I believe what they would like to see is somewhere on the opposite side of the road going in the northbound direction, recognition. And all I'm saying is we would have to find an appropriate spot because of the clutter that's in that area right now, opposite where the Brinkley Memorial Highway sign is. We may not be able to find something right opposite that area. It may have to go further up the road just to find a clear area.
Okay.
Jane, it would be an overlay. It would have two names.
So it's both Brinkley Memorial Highway and Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Highway?
That's correct.
That's what you were asking for, I think.
And now Ed's going to tell us it has to go through the Planning Commission for signage.
Not to complicate things, but it's a granite memorial. Is that what we're talking about?
Granite.
Those are supposed. Well, the zoning ordinance says historic, commemorative, and other monuments and memorials in the street right of way are supposed to go to the design review board, and then back to council for final approval.
And if you want that done, the Design Review Board, DRB, meets early in January, and you, assuming everything's fine with them, it could come back before you, before the 19th. Again, assuming we get a highway permit before that time, but I'm sure Mr. Clyburn could help us with that.
When would it come back, Ron?
Well, our first council meeting in January is on the 12th. And the Design Review Board would meet on the 6th, I believe, Ed. That's the first Tuesday.
And then it would have to be made, I assume. You're not going to make it ahead of time.
Yes, sir. We're going to go ahead and have it made, and we'll just
pray that this will all work out and instead of waiting.
Right.
And if not, we'll put it down.
Right. Because you wanted to do this on the 17th.
Right.
Right.
So certainly, if you want with the T12, we'll have it in store and ready. Yes, sir.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan.
We still would. I would appreciate it if you'd give me some general guidance on where you would like to have some signs so that when we go to the highway department, we could let them know we plan to put it at these few locations.
Well, I thought we just... Okay, you would just want council to approve.
Well, I've heard six, I've heard two.
It's my feeling.
Heard five or six.
I think we said three times three. Three signs.
Well, that was the recommend that was said. Yes, we haven't voted on anything yet.
But I think someone had questions about how many, what they were going to look like, what size, and
yeah. I did.
Right.
We all did.
Right, and so I think what she clarified for me, at least, is that for the city would be where Highway 19 comes up close to the bypass, and you said just before that.
And I would say that if you're going to do it, you already have a sign there that's got, in my opinion, way too many signs on it already. You either do it just as you get across the bypass or several hundreds of feet prior to that.
But in that general area.
But in the general area
somewhere. In the general area.
Near the bypass.
And then another one, I believe you mentioned close to where the monument is going to be. Is that what you said, Kim?
Where the monument serves us.
But that was not what you said. That
the
was
monument will serve
as a marker. But then you mentioned going to Lawrence and Park.
Mm-hmm. Right there where it's behind the horse, it says Rye Patch. There's space for a sign on that, the pole with that direction, another pole.
Right. That would be the second one.
Okay.
And then the
third would be somewhere down the Whiskey Road.
Right. Those are the three.
Okay.
And then coming back north?
And coming back north, I guess close to the same areas.
As Mr. LeBrook indicated, on Whiskey Road, across the street from this, you will never just see a sign. So maybe up past Rick's, up past...
Wherever.
Start there and somewhere in
Mm-hmm. Brendan, are you also going to have some signs down in New Ellington?
The county would then take from where Brinkley Parkway is, they would put maybe one more sign and then one down at 278 indicating down at that intersection, 278.
Yeah, at Major, Major intersection.
Something there, some location.
I was just asking a question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The original city ordinance was for signs on SC 19 as it goes through the city of Aiken. So as long
the original city ordinance said it could be an overlay district, no signs would be placed on the roadway. Only a memorial.
That was agreed to at the time.
It designated
recall,
that portion of SC 19 as...
There was an awful lot of talk about it and discussion about it, and there were different places that was talked about putting it. So I think in order to get something done, it was voted on a 4-3 basis to do that.
That's
but there would be no signs, and we left the room all in agreement with that at that time. So here we are again now, and I think we should approve it, and I think it's appropriate.
I think highway signs should be on highways. I when you get down in the middle of town, I have a problem with a big highway sign, but that's just me. I think it's perfectly appropriate at the city limits both ways, and that to me is much more appropriate.
All right, I'd like to move that we consider six signs. Three each way, if that's the way it turns out. And the signs would be determined by the highway department, working with Representative Clyburn, working with the highway department, I assume, in some fashion, to get a nice-looking sign. And That's my motion.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Any discussion?
I support placing the signs, but I think six is it's more than was asked for, and I think the community has only asked for three, and
I'm not sure.
I agree with.
I'm not sure. The community only asked for three?
Well,
is it six signs at three locations?
It's two each way. It's three each way.
Yeah, so it's
six.
A total of six signs in three locations.
Yeah.
Just three locations.
Yeah. Do you agree with that, Councilwoman Price? Six or three?
Who are you asking this?
It's Councilwoman Price.
Isn't that what you meant?
Oh, we talked about three signs going one direction. I hadn't thought about the other direction in terms of going north, south, and east, west. North, south, I'm sorry, and south, north. You can get bogged down with this. Six signs within how many miles?
Oh, goodness.
You're asking me?
Well, yeah. You're talking about coming in north from going south, coming north of Aiken city limits.
Three signs one way, sign. Three the other way.
And then at the end of it would conceivably be another sign, and then somewhere in the middle.
I support the proposed motion.
Okay, any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Opposed? Okay, passes 6-1. Okay, thank you very much for the presentation there. That's the end of our agenda. I have two things I'd like to do, though. I'd like to recognize Sharon Rogers. Sharon is Executive Director of the United Way. Most of us may know that already. And I think she did a fabulous job this year. And Sharon, if I'm not mistaken, this was your first year, right?
This was the very first year.
Okay, with a new staff, I think. So a new staff, and they met their goal, and they did a wonderful job in the campaign, and just excellent job. So thank you very much. See, we don't have too often that we could do that, that someone comes in here that's really been a great leader. Thank you for that. The other thing is, council members, I've kind of, if you will, I've kind of committed us, if you don't mind. In light of the fact that the Food Acts and Golden Harvest, thank you, is having such a hard time of getting canned goods, I suggested that we bring, and this is all employees plus the staff and us, bring cans of food, as much as we can manage, to our employee awards luncheon Friday. And let's just get as much as we possibly can. I hope our employees will bring as much as they can so that we can give food to the Golden Harvest and or Axe, or maybe split it up. That doesn't matter how we split it up. But if you would, they, as you know, they're having hard trouble. Axe, they're seeing almost double the amount of people coming for food, clothes, those kind of things that they saw last year this time. And I know the Golden Harvest has had several articles in the paper about not having enough food, showing shelves empty and that kind of thing. So whatever we can do, I think certainly we ought to do that. Yes, Bill? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. I just want to say quickly, I think it's very important that we emphasize what you just said. You know, this is really the season that we can talk about this a little bit, and it's very close to my heart that Golden Harvest and the food bank simply has not been getting what it normally does through the state. There's been a cutback. And there's a lot of requests, a lot of people requesting food that have not been able to get it because of the cutback. And I just feel that I would be remiss to just sit here and not address that. I appreciate you bringing it up. I appreciate the council supporting it. And I certainly hope that we would take it at heart. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bill, very much. Okay. Maybe the paper can give a plug on that, too, the need, not necessarily if the city's doing this, but there is a great need there. April, you can take care of that, can't you? Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Anything else to come up? Okay. We stand adjourned. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Just the